Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Trim Radio Network and Stu Shear's Money and Change. I am Michael Bejas, the producer. You can come on over to Trim Radio Network, where we broadcast live all over the world, and we have some great merchandise, and it helps us stay on the air. So there's nothing we'd like more than to see you sporting around in our new merchandise. Anyway, if you want to be a part of our Trim Radio Network team, all you have to do is message us and we'll show you how easy it is to do. And this song right here, well, that's Jesse J, and that's covered under our BMI music license 6105-1658, and that's price tag. Anyway, the opinions expressed by our host, co-host, guest, myself, and others is not necessarily that of the Trim Radio Network, its owners, managers, or others. And any information shared by us is not to be considered to be used as advice. We inform, we don't advise, and any legal or medical or health professional information that we share is only for information. Always check with your primary medical or health professional before you ever do anything. And we expressly deny any and all liabilities. Folks, we have a call-in number, 803-866-1667. You call in, give us your call. We'd love to hear your opinion as long as you're not cussing or swearing, because we run a very clean radio station and we're going to keep it that way. We like to be very family-oriented and Christian-type-based radio station. Anyway, without further ado, here is Stu.
Hey, Michael. Boy, I'll tell you what, it's been a crazy last couple of days. Oh, I don't know about you guys, but I got some news about banks and stuff, and I started to go into full research mode. Oh, it's been something, and especially today. So we've got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Hopefully it will calm your fears, but it will make you prep a little bit faster. Anyhow, guys, welcome to Money and Change / Financially Prepped. We are on Facebook. We also have an archive section in moneyandchange.weebly.com. And our disclaimer, the information contained in this presented material is from the posting of news agencies on the internet and are not necessarily the views or opinions of the owners of this program. Nothing in this show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. You should always do your own research and consult with professionals. We are not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast. Well, hey, you know, we always do shout outs, and I'm just going to do short ones because we've got so much stuff to cover.
Hey, Stu.
You know, big shout out. Yeah.
Before you finish, don't forget to stop sharing your page.
Well, I know. I'll do that.
Okay.
As long as I behave myself.
That's right.
Yeah, we're new at doing this sharing of the page, guys. And we tried it a little bit last week, and we're getting more into it. So anyhow, we're going to get this going and get used to using it a lot, because it gives you something to take a look at where we get our sources. Well, anyhow, back to shout-outs. Big shout-out to Trim Radio Network. And we've been doing this for quite a while, and Michael and I, we're a pretty good team. But we also have other shows, and I'll tell you what, you know, we've got the Spiritual Freedom Show, we've got the Red Pill Reality Show, we've got Money and Change, we've got Fishing in Florida Show, we've got Bare Knuckles Show, we've also got Offsides, Take Point 22, the Brighter Life Show, Circle Q, and let's see here, Rascalis Red Pill Reality Show. Now, those are all original shows, but I'm going to tell you what. Oh, I forgot my other show, My World, Live, Laugh, and Whatever. And that's on Wednesday nights. Well, anyhow, guys, we have a lot of original shows. And if you want to be a part of Trim Radio Network and do your own show, hey, contact us. It's very easy to do. And we have fun doing it. And we have some really good shows, and we have, oh, it's just great. It really is. Also, you can listen in live to music that we have too, which is great because we do have that BMI license. Well, anyhow, we have the University of Findlay, which is www.findlay.edu. Big news, a choral group from the University of Findlay performed in Czechoslovakia. And they went over for the week and they performed over in Czechoslovakia, which is interesting. They used to study overseas before the COVID situation. And they would have groups go over there. The University of Findlay is, you might as well say, an international school because we have students from the United States and we have students from other countries all over the world. And it's an international campus. Very good professors, very good facilities, and I'll tell you what, NCAA sports, NCAA Division II, it's great. It really is. Check it out, the University of Findlay in Findlay, Ohio, www.findlay.edu. Also, a big shout out to Rusty Ducks Custom Pens. And you've always heard me talk about Rusty Ducks Custom Pens because Rusty Ducks Custom Pens are great. Both Michael and I have the pens, and Phil over at Rusty Ducks Custom Pens produces pens that are award pens. They are just beautiful.
They are.
So if you're, yeah.
They are. They're very beautiful pens. And guys, they write like a dream. The work is just impeccable. I can't say enough about Rusty Duck Pens. By the way, Stu, it's still showing that you're sharing your page.
Oh, it is?
Yes, it is. I was just giving you a little heads up. And I will leave the rest to you, my friend.
Okay. Well, that's good. All righty. Well, anyhow, guys, we have My World, which is on Wednesdays at 7. And we have Money and Change, which is tonight, of course. I botched it up. I got out of sequence here. I don't do that much. Anyhow, Money and Change, 7 o'clock p.m. on Sundays. And My World, Life, Laugh, and Whatever. Guess what? That's Wednesdays at 8 p.m. So check us out there. Okay, Big Family Homestead with Brad and Krista. Check them out. I've got videos out on those guys. Deep South Homestead with Danny and Wanda King. They're still planting and getting ready for the summer. Down in Wiggins, Mississippi. Southern Prepper One with Dave Kobler. And we also have Ed Carswell at Prepper Nurse One. Check them out. Also, we also have Nate over at Canadian Prepper. And he keeps me abreast of some of the stuff that's actually happening and going on in the world. And sometimes he gets a little gloomy and doomish. But hey, that's the way it goes. Anyhow, I posted up a video about Has the Balloon Popped? And that's with Brad and Krista, and they're talking about bank failures and liquidity problems and so forth. And this has just been the last couple of days, guys. And that's what's important because there's so much information that has been flying around. It makes my head spin, and I'm checking every couple of hours to see what is new with everything that's going on. Also, we have even BP Earthwatch found out some more information, unrealized losses with banks. It's a 311 update. You can watch that one. Also, we have George over at Iridium 242. He's out in Arizona. And George has 15 cheap items that will be priceless after a collapse. I'm not saying one will happen. It could happen. But I'm not that good of a prognosticator. That's a big word. Hey, banks collapse, top five warning signs. This is a really good one. Check that one out too. It goes into a little bit more depth than others. CBDC, sees the central bank digital coins could be easily weaponized to spy on everybody, according to a congressman. And then we had something on the SVB Bank, Silicon Valley Bank, and on Zero Hedge, they were talking about mass layoffs with that bank. Wells Fargo has problems again, question mark, and check that one out. A lot of stuff on there. Contain 2.0, Treasury Secretary Yellen says banking system is resilient. I wonder why she's laughing. I don't know. Well, anyhow, guys, check us out on Money and Change / Financially Prepped on Facebook. We have a lot of postings that go up during the week. Anything that's important goes up, and you want to check us out there. And it's easy to join. It's free. Just go ahead and join us. And we have a lot of good information that goes up there. So check us out, Money and Change / Financially Prepped on Facebook. Well, guys, a lot of stuff that happened last couple of days really, really scares me and scared other people. And there was a problem with the Silicon Valley Bank. And there's been all kinds of developments going on. And just about every 2, 3, 4 hours, things will happen. They'll just pop up and say, okay, this is what we've got. Well, the Silicon Valley Bank had a lot of upstart businesses in there. And all of a sudden, some things were happening that, well, let's put it this way, it caused a little bit of panic out in California. And other banks started catching on to it. Well, Zero Hedge came out with Fed panics, Signature Bank suddenly shuttered. Well, the Silicon Valley Bank was also tied into other banks. And what they do is people put their money in the bank. The bank turns around, they keep 1/10 of it, and they turn around and take 9/10 of it and then reinvest it. And they can get derivatives out of it or hedge funds. Depends on how they play that game. Banks have been known to sell portfolios. They only have so many that they want to keep. And if they have other businesses and investments and so forth in this portfolio that they want to get rid of, they will go around to other banks and see if they want to buy them. And sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. And the bank gets stuck. Well, you take a look at all this stuff. And SVB had problems, and they think it was poor management. And the verdict is not out yet because they really have to go in and really go through the books of the bank. But something allegedly was going on, and whether or not it was buying stocks, selling stocks, or just doing some crazy stuff. So, of course, the Business Insider was talking about different things, and the Zero Hedge was talking about different things. And I'm trying to get all this stuff lined up for the show, and we wanted to go online so you could actually see some of the things that we're talking about. And that way, not only do you have the web page with the videos, you also have the sources you can see on the screen. Because people could say, oh, he's just making it up. No, I'm not. I do all the research, and I want to get the information out to you so you don't totally panic. And there's nothing to panic about yet. Notice I said yet. But what happened with SVB, Silicon Valley Bank? They're going to make an announcement before Monday. The Fed is going to make an announcement before Monday. And the Fed waited about 15 minutes after futures opened for trading to announce the new bailout alongside even more shocking news. The Treasury announced that the New York State regulators are shuttering Signature Bank, a major New York bank, adding that all depositors, both at Signature Bank and also Silicon Valley Bank, will have access to their money on Monday. And the one thing is that Silicon Valley Bank had other institutions tied in with it. And it's like a domino effect. One goes down or gets taken over by the Federal Reserve, and then it may lead to another one because Silicon Valley Bank may have invested a portfolio with XYZ Bank and 123 Bank. And it's that way all across the system. But just remember that ratio. The ratio is they keep one part and they are allowed to loan out nine parts. You put the one and the nine together, you get 100%, okay? So all this is going on, and we think of bank failures. Now, according to this article, and you can see it on the screen, it says, as we process the shock of yet another small bank failure, which makes JP Morgan even bigger, although they haven't defaulted or anything there. The Fed just issued a statement saying, and this is very current, saying that to support American businesses and households, the Federal Reserve Board on Sunday announced it will make available additional funding to eligible depository institutions to help assure banks have the ability to meet the needs of all their depositors. This action will bolster the capability of the banking system to safeguard deposits and ensure the ongoing provision of money and credit to the economy. Now, our economy is based on credit. You know, you have a credit score, whether through its Experian or TransUnion or whatever. And we need to take a look at it a little bit differently. And it's my belief that what we need to do, yeah, you can have a credit system, but we also has to have a, we also have a system where you can look at what you have saved, how you have managed your money. The banks always said, well, you build up a credit statement and you're in hock for loans and you have to pay them off and your credit looks really good. You know, if you default and you can't pay or you have repossessions or whatever, the bank looks at that as a bad credit report. And it can happen. And it depends on how many credit cards you have and how you spend those credit cards and your payments and everything else. I don't like to have a bunch of credit cards. I only have two. That's it. Generally, I pay by cash because cash is king. You can't be tracked. Not that I'm doing anything illegal, which I'm not. But if I go out to eat, I pay in cash. If I go to Walmart, better known as Wally World, I pay in cash. If I go to other places, I normally pay in cash, unless it's a big purchase. Just remember, cash is king. And if you can't afford to pay in cash and you have to use your credit card, make sure that you pay that credit card off, that bill, when it comes due. Think about it. You have no bad strikes on your credit. So your credit is then up to 800, 850, 875, 900. And that's the important thing. Now, the Fed also said in that address today, said that it is prepared to address any liquidity pressures that may arise, which in turn has just unveiled the first bailout acronym of the new crisis. The banking or the Bank Term Funding Program, BTFP. And what it is, the financing will be made available through the creation of a new Bank Term Funding Program, or the BTFP, offering loans up to 1 year in length to banks, saving associations, credit unions, and other eligible depository institutions, pledging U.S. Treasuries, agency debt, and mortgage-backed securities, and other qualifying assets as collateral. Now, these assets will be valued at par. The BTFP will be an additional source of liquidity against high quality securities, eliminating an institution's need to quickly sell those securities in a timely or in times of stress. Remember when the last thing happened back in 2008? You think back to then and the banks were in trouble. And so the feds bailed them out. Then they turned around and said, well, you pay all this back, but we're not going to bail you out again. What are they doing? They're bailing them out again. Because if they don't, everything collapses. Everything. And that's what's scary. That one little bank, and it really isn't little, I think it's the 18th largest bank in the country, would default. And what that does, it sends a ripple down all of them. Because some way, they might have their portfolios with that bank. You don't know. Only those banks do. And it gets scary. Now, the Fed explains that the Department of the Treasury will make up or make available up to $25 billion from the Exchange Stabilization Fund as a backstop for the BTFP. And while the Federal Reserve, which was completely clueless about this banking crisis until Thursday, does not anticipate that it will be necessary to draw on these backstop funds. And we anticipate that the final number of needed backstop liquidity would be somewhere north of $2 trillion. How much are we in debt? If we take a look at the national debt clock, and I'm just going to zoom there, it's $31,611,484,000 and climbing. Now it's $485 million. The debt per citizen is $94,482. The debt per taxpayer is $246,867. What is causing the debt? Congress. They're spending money like it's going out of style, especially when it comes to going over to, let's put it this way, Biden's folly, the Ukraine. They're spending a lot of money over there. They're spending money in other areas. They're spending too much. And the interest on the debt that we have is about 542 million dollars, and it's climbing. And that is what is scary. The revenue that we're getting in right now is 4,610,975,000,000, almost $976 million. And that means revenue per citizen is $13,796. We're spending more than we're taking in. Now, if you were in the government's shoes, oh, they just write it off and they just charge your grandkids and great-grandkids to pay it off. If we did that, we'd be in prison. Let's face it, Congress has to go on a diet. They have to have a balanced budget. And every time they propose a balanced budget in Congress, guess what? They don't pass it. They just keep spending money. And I'll tell you what, every time that we have a situation where the budget is balanced, we've had either a conservative Democrat or a Republican as president. We've had a more conservative House and Congress. Right now, we have a loony bin, in my opinion. Think about it. They're spending money hands over feet, or what, however you want to phrase that. They're spending money. Money they don't have that we're going to get on the hook for. And that's not good. If you can't pay for it with cash and you have to use credit, when the bill comes due, pay it off. Don't get interest fees. That's the name of the game. I've known people that go out and they use their credit cards all the time and they just pay off the minimum payment. And as a result, they're in hock. There are a lot of people that do that. They like to play that game. I don't. My house is paid for. My car is paid for. My credit cards, all two of them, are clean. So that way, if I want to get a hold of Amazon and do something, or go out to Wally World and use it for a larger purchase, that's fine. But I pay that bill off when it comes due. I haven't paid any interest this year. I didn't pay any interest last year or the year before. You know, somebody asked me on Facebook, and they were talking about all the stuff that's going on. And they said, what do you recommend? And I said, okay, I'll spell it out. Pay down your debt. Pay it off if you can. Put some money aside. Save a little bit each week. Buy long-term food. Be able to preserve water. Make sure you have your medications. And what happens if the electrical grid goes out, like in California with the snow and the rain and everything else? Okay, do you have a generator? Do you have solar panels or whatever? Do you have batteries, flashlights? Do you have propane heaters? Do you have charcoal grills? It's about being prepared for problems. And with this banking system problem that just cropped up as of Thursday, that scares me. I don't scare very easily, but when stuff like this happens, when a bank doesn't behave and it causes other banks not to fall in line, then you have a problem. And things are so bad, it could go down here and then again in Europe. And I was just listening to something this afternoon about the problems in Russia, and their economy is really bad. The Chinese economy is really bad. And Gerald Celente, when countries can't handle themselves financially, they often turn to war. And you've got that going in Ukraine. You've got threatening different places to start the war machinery to go ahead and spend more money, just like we did at World War II. We had to spend our way out of a war. That's not the way to do it. And politicians know how to, let me put it this way, politicians would screw up a one-car funeral with a GPS, breadcrumbs, and probably a white cane on each bumper. They know how to spend your money, but they don't know how to budget. Well, anyhow, guys, that's what's getting scary. And I don't scare easily. But this whole thing of what's going on, the feds want to get rid of SVB, Silicon Valley Bank, and give it to somebody else to take it over, because that's what they normally do. And they have another bigger bank come in that's in better shape, take that bank over. Somebody said, maybe Elon Musk would take it over. I don't know. I don't know what I would do with that bank, but I know all of their clients out there, they're in trouble. And they had long lines of people trying to take out their money out of that one branch. And that's scary. It reminds you of the Great Depression, and people went to the banks, and the banks had a run on the banks, and they couldn't get money and so forth. And depositors were ticked off. The banks were out of money. They had to call the Fed to get more money, and they had to delay it. There was a movie about that with Jimmy Stewart at one point, I think, was in that. And banks only have so much money on hand at a bank.
At Pneumatic Vacuum Elevators, we're taking our industry to new heights.
My dad was
Since
an
starting
honest
out in
banker. I mean,
he
really
we've
was.
become the
He took
global
care of
leader
his
in the use of
clients
air
and
to lift people. The sleek,
But one day I
stylish,
was
clean,
there and I
and
had to stop in, and it was closing time. And dad said, well, why don't
unlike
you
your
hang
average
around and
elevator,
we'll
our
walk
revolutionary
together?
vacuum elevators
And I
are
said,
designed
well,
with
okay,
your
I can do
interior
that.
in mind, but they also offer far more than
And he
aesthetics.
said, have you
They're
ever
simple to
held
install
a
with
$1,000
minimal
bill?
construction requirements. They save
I said,
space,
no.
they're highly eco-friendly, and require
So
almost no maintenance
no
without the
customers
need
in the
for messy
bank,
oils or
and everybody
lubricants.
else was getting things done, and dad was in
Our
charge
patented
of the
technology
vault
is
in this
changing
one
the way we
branch.
transport people
And he
and
showed me,
goods.
he says, there's a
Take a look
thousand
at
dollar
how it
bill.
works
I
at
held it, looked at it, and
vacuumelevators.com.
okay, fine,
There you
gave it
can browse the
back.
projects
He
we've
said, have
completed
you
for
ever
clients
seen
across
a
America and
$10,000
globally.
bill?
And while you're online,
And I said, no. So he reaches around and he gets one out and hands it to me. I couldn't even tell you what president or person was on the bill. But to hold a $10,000 bill, it's like, holy, you know what? That's some bucks. Well, they only have so many of those available at each bank. And I even think they had a $50,000 bill and a $100,000 bill, I think. And they all have to be accounted for every night when they close up. And just in case a big business needs cash and writes a check for things, they have to have it. So that was one of the things that I've had the privilege of doing. My dad was a vice president at a large bank. And after he retired, they hired him to come back and teach attorneys how to do compliance work. In other words, they have certain rules and regulations that the bank have to follow, And if they don't follow it, well, then they're in trouble because they get audited every so often. And my dad's bank never had a finding against that bank. And even the auditors said it was very well run. All the rules were adhered to. And Dad was teaching attorneys to do his work. And he did that for about a year because it was technical stuff. He managed a lot of different divisions within that bank. And it's a Midwestern bank based in Cincinnati. Well, anyhow, Janet Yellen was saying that government will help the SVB depositors, but no bailout. Well, she looks like she's going to change her mind and there's going to be a bailout. Well, you know, the FDIC, Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, it's kind of a quasi-government type of thing. But the FDIC is prepared to operate the Silicon Valley Bank. And there are a lot of things that the FDIC does. Well, anyhow, the FDIC insures deposits, examines and supervises financial institutions for safety, soundness, and consumer protection. It makes large and complex financial institutions resolvable and manages receiverships. Well, SVB is going to be in receivership. Okay. Now, the FDIC protects depositors of insured banks located in the United States against loss of their deposits if an insured bank fails. And any person or entity can have FDIC insurance coverage in an insured bank. Now, what's not insured by the FDIC? There are a number of different non-deposit investments. These can include stock investments, bond investments, mutual funds, crypto assets like cryptocurrencies, life insurance policies, annuities, municipal securities, and safe deposit boxes or their contents. That's scary if you have a safety deposit box and you have certain items in there. If the bank goes belly up, what do you do? That's the scary part. So if I look at the stuff that I would have, I don't have any bonds or mutual funds or crypto or life insurance or annuities or municipal securities. I do have some stock. And hopefully, I won't have to wait in line with everybody to get into their safety deposit boxes. And I actually have two. One with a large bank and one with a small bank. But I have certain things, you know, wills and stuff like that in there. But that's what they don't handle. And that's what's scary. Now, when the bank fails, according to FDIC, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, the FDIC, will arrange the sale of the bank customers' assets to a healthy bank, or less commonly, the FDIC will pay the bank deposits back directly. And that's what they're prepared, I think, to do that at SVB. Now, can you lose money in FDIC? Well, according to what happened in 1933, no depositor has lost a penny of FDIC insured funds. Now, how much money is safe under the FDIC? It used to be $100,000. They've upped it to $250,000 per depositor, per insured bank, for each account ownership category. And the FDIC provides separate coverage for deposits held in different accounts owners categories. Now, if, for example, you would have an account and it might have different dollar amounts and it adds up to maybe $400,000. Well, $150,000 is not going to be insurable. That's what's scary. And usually people with a lot of money have things done differently. And they might be invested in foreign currency or silver and gold and so forth. But they know that that $250,000 is there. The feds are thinking about going above that $250,000 for the bigger depositors. I'll never have to worry about having $250,000 in the bank. Yeah, it's not going to happen. One thing that I do is move money in different banks. Why? Because each bank, that account is insured for $250,000. So if I went to a farm-based bank or a credit union or a small town bank, farm bank, whatever, and maybe one of the big Midwestern banks, each one has $250,000. So it's those accounts at each bank is $250,000. And you diversify your money in the different banks and you're covered for large amounts of money. Of course, I don't have large amounts of money in any one bank at all. I'm just a retired state employee, okay? I didn't make big money. However, some of the people that I know and have lunch with, or I see them at a football game or whatever when I'm out, they move their money around different banks, and you're talking millions. I don't know why I never learned their secrets. But you run into that. I'm just a common, ordinary person. Now, here's another thing. Does the FDIC cover stolen money? Well, the FDIC deposit insurance does not protect against losses due to theft or fraud, which are addressed by other laws. FDIC insurance does not protect against the default, insolvency, or bankruptcy of any non-bank entity, including crypto custodians, cryptocurrency, exchanges, brokers, wallet providers, and neobanks. And you can see it right there. It's highlighted. Now, what happens if you have large sums of money? You can actually take and put them in a bank that handles OAKES, O-A-K-E-S, CDs. And you're allowed to put in up to $250,000 in that CD. And because other banks are part of this OAKES situation, you could actually hook it into another bank. So let's say I had $1 million and I went ahead and invested that million into CDs. And I went to the farm bank, the farmer's bank, and I said, okay, I've got this money. I want to put it in CDs. And they say, well, we can only handle $250,000 in one CD. But since we're part of the OAKES network, we will contact other banks to see if they will take your money and put it into CDs. And so they could take up to $250,000, and another bank down the road a ways that's part of that chain of organizations can't go ahead and take another $250,000 and so forth until all of that $250,000 at each bank adds up to your $1 million that you have. And that's what they do. I did find that one out a few years back. I thought that's kind of interesting. Well, anyhow, you get to learn a lot what's out there. You get to learn how the banks handle things. And it gets kind of scary. There was a live blog as of 3 p.m. today. It was a ET update in the Washington Post. And SVB, latest developments, live blog, regulators weighing bailout of all unsecured depositors to prevent banking panic. They don't need a panic like they had in 1933. They don't need people jumping out of windows or other things like that. And this is scaring a lot of the bankers worldwide. It doesn't make any difference. Once something happens in a country, other countries pick up. You know, the banks all talk to each other. And it gets real scary. So, you know, if you have 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, up to $250,000 in the bank, it's insured. Your money is covered. You can continue to write checks. You could use your credit card. Just pay off the interest or pay back. No, don't pay off the interest. Pay the whole thing off. But it gets scary right now. And the way that the world is, we've got the stuff going on over in Ukraine. We've got stuff going on between Israel and Iran. Everybody's playing little games. Everybody's playing with money. Everybody is having an economy that's not good. And that makes things very tumultuous. Oh, that's a big word. And you have to watch out what's going on. So in the next week, here's some advice. Just little advice. If I were you, but you make up your own decisions, I would keep some money on hand at home or in a safe place. Or you can pay off your bills for a month or 2 months or 3 months. I would go on a purchasing spree of this. I would only get food and water and medications. Be able to pay all my bills down that I can pay down. And live very frugally for the next 3 or 4 months, maybe 6 months. And we'll get through it. If we don't get through it, then we're back in the Great Depression of back in 1933, which we never want to go through, because the next depression that we would have is going to be much worse. And people are going to starve. It's going to be scary. And that's enough to scare the heck out of me, and I know it scares the heck out of you. And if it doesn't, well, guess what? It should. There was an article here, the four faces of hyperinflation, according to the International Monetary Fund. And we just have just a few minutes. I will not get into that. I might save it till next Sunday and then add that to the updates on other banks and problems that they're having. Hopefully, I have been able to cover a few important things. Number one, to put your mind at ease, because on tomorrow, which is Monday, at 11:30, the FDIC is going to meet. And I believe Janet Yellen is going to be involved with that, with Treasury, and probably some of the big bankers. But they're going to meet. And they're going to say, how can we solve this problem? That's 11:30 Monday. So we have to check all the financial news after that meeting is over, which would probably be 3 o'clock, my guess. So keep your head on a swivel. Be very alert to what's going on. And if you haven't started prepping, you better start now. Remember, you can take $5 and you can take and put that towards canned goods. You can buy long-term foods. You can buy extra bottles of water or jugs of water. But be prepared, because if something happens, at least you'll be covered.
Stu?
3 months. Well, the problem is you've got to survive. You've got to be able to buy food, water, and everything else. So it's time to prep. If you haven't started, you better start. And Michael?
Yes, sir.
I went through on items on what the FDIC does and doesn't do. Yep. I covered a little bit of SVB, which is Silicon Valley Bank. And I told everybody, as of tomorrow at 11:30 in the morning, the FDIC is going to meet along with Treasury, and they're going to take a look at this Silicon Valley Bank. And there was one other bank that has gone into receivership, and that's in New York.
Well, I think they're going to they're going to start toppling pretty soon, but we'll see.
We'll see. It's a day at a time, and keep your head on a swivel and just make sure you got your bases covered. So, Michael, that's all I have, and we will see you on Wednesday at 8 p.m. for my world.
Yep, and stick around, Stu, till I get off, and we'll be right back, folks. Thank you for joining us on Trim Radio Network. And we will see you take point 22. And we have, I believe it is Valerie Milliken again, that is going to be talking about whole health foods. So that will be coming up at 8 o'clock on Tuesday on Trim Radio Network, take point 22. And we have a lot more stuff to cover because they have a whole bunch of stuff going on. Anyway, folks, we will talk to you later. God bless. Thanks for joining us here.
See ya.